This week on The Future of Sex.
Half of long-term relationships in North America are amongst people who do not live in the same city. So any way tech can help with the intimacy is always very welcome.
It's the world's first interactive lovemaking tool.
Everyone is weird when it comes to sex. Like, everyone thinks that they're the only one who's weird when it comes to sex, but everyone is. Even if you were the average of everything when it comes to sex, you'd still be weird for just being that.
The former adult entertainment actress, Lisa Ann, and she was gonna do the first virtual gangbang with her Pearl and all her fans that had an Onyx, they would be able to connect with her and feel her.
It's quite sensual. You can see how with someone that you have feelings for, it is quite physical that.
Hey, I'm Bryony, and welcome to another episode of Future of Sex, the podcast that explores the evolving worlds of sex and tech. Today on the show, we're going to explore how teledildonics and virtual reality are creating a new sort of intimacy, an intimacy that doesn't require you to be in the same room as your lover, or even to know who they are. But before we get started, we just want to remind you, this podcast contains explicit language and adult themes. So please make sure you've got headphones on if there are little ones around. So on the last episode, we dug into the history of sex toys, from the stone dildos 28,000 years ago to advancements in vibrators that you see today, whether they're synced up to your iPhone or they have six motors. Today, we're going to take it even further and explore the possibilities when you combine super connected sex toys with virtual reality. Now, the advantages are pretty obvious for those in long-distance relationships, craving the touch of their partner and have an internet connection. But there are also some major innovations happening outside of the couple space. What happens when a porn company collaborates with a teledildonics company? What are the possibilities for intimacy with a stranger? How does this change one-night stands when all this happens in a virtual sex world?
I find that virtual reality is the next generation and sort of the evolution of both sex and technology fusing together in order to bring more pleasure to individuals and couples.
First up, we'll be talking to sex tech consultant Stephanie Barron about the formation of the teledildonics industry. Then Maki Sugimura-Herlinga from Kiru will walk us through how they created the company and who's using teledildonics today. I'll then be speaking with Bedoink VR, one of the first porn companies to pair with another teledildonics company. And finally, Janet Lieberman, sex toy designer and CTO of Dame Products, who is also an MIT engineer and has raised over $1 million in crowdfunding for her next-gen vibrators at Dame Products. Now, as someone at the edge of all of sex tech possibilities, Janet explores some very real questions with me about the future of intimacy when we combine all these different technologies. And she's a great way to wrap up this episode. But before we get started with the interviews, I'm going to break down the technology behind teledildonics.
It's quite sensual. You can see how with someone that you have feelings for, it is quite physical, that. I mean, yes. I'm quite surprised at the visceral feedback. Yes. I can see myself letting go with my wife over a couple of thousand miles and feeling a sort of connection.
Teledildonics, what a great word. The word itself was coined by Howard Rheingold in a 1990 issue of a cyberculture magazine. But even before the 90s, this concept of teledildonics, of remotely controlled sex toys, was alive and well, especially in cinema. There were plenty of sci-fi movies exploring what it would be like to have someone, or something, control your orgasm without actually touching you. Woody Allen's Orgasmatron from the 1973 movie Sleeper is a classic example.
Oh, that was wonderful. I feel so refreshed. I think we should have had sex, but there weren't enough people.
We'll use the Orgasmatron.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Come on.
You know, I think Beverly's nose looked larger tonight.
Oh, well, I
think...
Okay, let's get to the technical part. Teledildonics essentially uses haptic technology to recreate a sense of touch. So what is haptic tech? The idea is to be able to physically feel another without them being in the same room. It's the same technology that allows doctors to perform remote surgery. It's also being used for space travel and military training. And for everyday people, haptic technology is used in everyday objects like t-shirts and pillows. It's basically sensors. So t-shirts like the hug shirt or pillows like the haptic heartbeat are designed with sensors embedded that make it possible for you to feel your partner's hug or heartbeat from across the world. And there's even a product called the Kissinger, which caters specifically to remote kissing.
So this is Kiss Messenger, or Kissinger for short. With this device here, has pressure sensors to measure the pressure from your lips.
So you can experience the pressure of a simultaneous bi-directional snog.
Yes, that's right, yes. But through the internet.
That's amazing.
Okay,
you can be separated by thousands of kilometers and kiss each other.
Jason, would you like to kiss me?
Yes.
So for the everyday person, companies began promoting these products and teledildonics as products specifically to bring couples together. But with teledildonics, everyone knew the possibilities reach beyond just connecting with someone you know. And as we'll find out on today's show, these super connected sex toys can be used to bring you into an intimate sensation exchange with just about anyone. The first time I heard about this sort of innovation was earlier last year when I spoke to sex tech consultant, yes, that's a real job, Stephanie Barron.
Well, yeah, teledildonics came out directly out of a want from the public. Companies like Oh My Bod and Kiru and Mojo Wijo were, if I remember correctly, started by people who were in long-distance relationship and who were looking for a better sex life than the usual video Skype call, which can turn pretty amazing when, you know, your Skype call goes on pause and the voice continues. Teledildonics just took a space that was really needed to be filled. And one of my first clients years ago had the idea for Oh My Bod. Unfortunately, their startup didn't manage to gather the momentum, the finances and talent to get Oh My Bod out. But once you have a good idea somewhere, somebody else has got the same good idea. It's just a matter of who's getting it to market first. So teledildonics is a great way to keep an intimate link when there is just nothing else to do because you do not live in the same city. Or you can always play with it if you live in the same city and just to add spice to your sex life, just like we do with other kind of toys.
And for listeners that don't know what teledildonics are, could you give a brief description and what Kiru or Mojo Wijo, I get that right, does?
Yeah. Well, basically, they are dildos. Some of them are designed for men. They're mainly sleeves that you put on the penis to stimulate oral sex. And then there are, you have the dildos for the women who are other vibrators that shape like a penis or not, or can just be simple vibrators. But they are linked to an iPhone or Android app, which means your lover can remotely guide and control the dildo. So it gets into something more intimate, more intense than just calling each other and have phone sex. The other lover that stays in Chicago, for instance, can control the dildo that you have inserted in your body or that you have on your penis and do with you things that you guys do when you're together. That's basically the simplicity of the concept. There's a very there's a great deal of technology behind it, but it's a very simple app and dildo to use. The dildos look like any kind of a dildo.
Hi, from Oh My Bod, this is the award-winning Club Vibe 2.0. Club Vibe 2.0 is a discreet, USB rechargeable, wireless remote control panty vibe. It won the 2012 AVN A&E O Award for Outstanding Product for Women. Club Vibe 2.0 is made with body-friendly ABS plastic with a velvety smooth PU coating that feels really, really great to the touch. The Vibe works from up to 15 to 20 feet away from the battery-operated remote. Now, there are two modes. You have manual mode with its five vibration patterns, or club mode, which is the ambient sound mode. There's a microphone that's built into the remote to actually pick up the sound around you. The lights come on to indicate how sensitive the microphone is. So the more lights, the more sensitive the mic. In club mode, it's designed to vibrate to the ambient sound around you. So that can be the club music, it can be a live band, the cheering of fans at a sporting event. If you're a student, it's really great for a lecture. It can vibrate to your lover's voice. Go ahead and get creative.
What I see technology doing for single people is the new dildos they're coming up with that are absolutely mind-blowing. I'm thinking for women of the Womanizer, which is a toy that stimulates oral sex. And all the tests I've been seeing were absolutely out of this world. It's quite brand new technology. There are also low-tech things that are coming out for men with 3D textured sleeves that are quite fun to play with from what I heard and read.
Coming up after the break, I chat with Mackie from teledildonics company Kairu.
My boss, Tone Timmermans, was watching the movie Demolition Man with Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone. And there's this particular scene, the sex scene actually, where both parties start wearing a helmet.
What's wrong? You broke contact.
Contact? I didn't touch you yet.
But I thought you wanted to make love.
Is that what you call this?
First sex has been proven to produce higher orders of alpha waves during digitized transference of sexual energies.
All right, Obstate, what do you say we just do it the old-fashioned way?
Hey, why don't we do that? I think that we have the means and the technology to do so. So why can't we just create something like that for lovers that are in long-distance relationships, you know?
Maki Sugimura-Herlinga is the customer relations manager at Kairu. We chatted about how the teledildonics company has changed its marketing.
And then obviously with this, it's quite niche still because we still don't know whether or not to market for long distance couples or for just single individuals that are just really into sex, you know. It's still a bit of a gray area, but that makes sense because of the fact that, you know, same with virtual reality, we just don't know if it will become a mass or a niche product and service. The former adult entertainment actress, Lisa Ann, and she was gonna do the first virtual gangbang with her Pearl and all her fans that had an Onyx, they would be able to connect with her and feel her. You have to admit, you know, without porn itself, technology would not be at its place where it is today. And I think the same goes for virtuality. I mean, it's completely crazy. And the fact that devices such as Kairu and now with WeVibe, you can connect it to your virtual reality content, it's going to be crazy.
So teledildonics companies like Kairu, who started out for couples, are now forging partnerships with adult companies to create these new interactive experiences for, well, anyone with an internet connection. These experiences are basically split into two types. The first is live shows, where the device connects to toys in real time, basically cam shows. And the second is pre-recorded content, where the device is synced to content. Kind of sounds funny to describe, but what it reminds me of is when you're going to the cinemas and you sit in those seats that shake when there's a car chase or there's an explosion and they're synced to the content. So, to me, it's like that. But instead of watching a car chase, you're watching adult entertainers perform. So there's that. Regardless, this new experience is creating a highly interactive way of becoming involved in a scene and experiencing an entirely new form of intimacy.
So when you're using it by yourself, you're obviously going to use it with content, or you can connect it also with webcam girls, which is a really cool thing. Once you find, you know, your webcam girls that's being provided with one of the partners that we are partnered with, such as Flirt for Free, Yumi Cams, I'm Live, Cam4, you know, any of the webcam girls or webcam stars that are in our partners with those selected websites, you're able to connect with them. So if they have a Kiro device, such as a Pearl, then you are able to connect with them through your Onyx or another Pearl. You know, you are able to send a request to them and saying like, hey, I would like to have a private show. Is it possible that we can connect via Kiro? They say, not a problem. And then these are, you know, my requirements. These are my requests. And so for that's a private show. You can always have it private or public, but I think it's majority of the time it is quite private, you know, because you want to have that one-on-one interaction.
It's a good thing now with the technology. You don't really have to go to somebody to have a nice conversation. I have a lot of different users visit me on my webcam shows. I have a lot of virgins on there. They're actually old and also some young. The Kiro is a vibrator for the girl, and it is kind of a sleeve for the guy. You don't have to use your hands as a guy. You can put it on your cock, connect yourself with Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and you're ready to go. Each movement, what she does with her mouth, with her hands, or with her pussy, he can totally feel it. So if she's going slowly, the guy can feel it completely on his cock.
We don't produce our own porn. What we do is we actually purchase the licensing rights for it from producers, and then we encode it. We encode it so that our device can be able to understand what is actually going on with the film. So you get the film, you have to subtitle it and encode it so that the device, whenever there's some movement occurring in the video, then the device will actually be able to communicate with the content and be like, oh, this is what's happening on the screen, so this is what I have to do. This is how I have to react, you know, slow, fast, or steady, passionate, you know, and so on. We partnered up with Bedoink VR. And we actually have a virtual sexology episodes. August Ames goes through a video, and there's a lot of sexologists, sex therapists, also in the video kind of recommending what you should and should do. So, for instance, like your breathing tactics or mechanisms, you know, how that could impact your sexual pleasures, you know. And this is seriously the future of sexual education because, you know, I find that personally for me, when I was, you know, in high school and I received my sexual education, I realized that I did not learn a thing. It was the bare minimum. It was the bare minimum, you know. And then that's when I realized, okay, I have to start researching for myself because I don't have a fucking clue what's going on. You know, and the fact is, like with Bedoink VR, is that they created this phenomenal episodes where you get to learn more about yourself and also the whole idea of sex and how it can be improved by yourself. And you know, you use the device and you have the virtual reality, so you're completely immersed and you really feel like you're having, you know, a lesson with a sexologist and telling you like, breathe in, breathe out, okay, relax, you know, now do this, feel this, do you hear my voice, follow my voice, you know. It's very calming and soothing, and then you kind of learn more about yourself, as I said before.
Welcome to the future of erotic entertainment. This cutting-edge video will improve your abilities in the bedroom while instilling relaxation, control, and confidence. Try deep breaths where your inhale is half the time of your exhale. For example, breathe in for 3 seconds and exhale for 6 seconds. Stretching out your breath, especially your exhale, adds to relaxation.
With this, you get to take your time, you get to figure out what you like and what you don't like. And I think that is just a leading step in the future of sexual education as well.
So, the future of sex education is virtual sexology?
Coming up after the break, I'm going to talk to the creators of the virtual sexology program at Bedoink, and we'll get right into it.
If we were to all move in the direction of virtual sex, do you think it would be hotter? And do you think it's our best choice for safer sex?
The hotter part? I think there's a case to be made for that, definitely. I mean,
why?
I wondered sometimes what I would do if I were like a manta ray in virtual world and have like manta sex or something like that.
Manta sex? Yeah. It does sound hot.
Or like dragon sex or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. That.
Virtual sexology and teledildonics work together because the teledildonic device allows you to be hands-free. You're not needing to manipulate your penis, your genitals during this experience. Whether it's a virtual sexology, which again, I think lends itself to education because of just the immersive nature of it, or virtual reality porn, it's just the immediacy of it, the palpability of it. It's like nothing else.
I would absolutely recommend this to my clients.
Fuck, it's pretty good. Shit. It doesn't feel like sex, and it doesn't feel like wanking either. It's like totally different. It's less effort than wanking.
Tyrone Miller is head of communications at Bedoink VR, one of a handful of porn companies that are making moves in the VR and teledildonic space.
We feel that the haptic feedback, touch, that's the next frontier, and as the technology improves and in a perfect world, if you're able to put gloves on and actually reach out and touch something, that's the next big thing. It's still very early. The technology is there, but integrating it with the video, everyone's still kind of learning how to do that. But we really see that as a big opportunity to really, take the immersion to the next level. So virtual sexology, it's a new content initiative from Bedoink VR. It's the world's first interactive lovemaking tool. So what that means is it's a video that's intended to provide both education and entertainment value. It's shot like most of the other traditional VR porn videos, as in there's a POV.
For those that don't know, POV means point of view.
Currently, it's a male POV with a female. And we worked with a licensed sex therapist to actually create a number of exercises that the female talent, August Ames, will run you through. So, she runs you through these different exercises that include breathing techniques, Kegel exercises, the start-stop method. And the idea is that it's supposed to help you improve your sexual performance. Giving you more confidence, more control, and kind of a safe environment within virtual reality. So it's a huge departure from not just what Bedoink has done, but the entire porn industry. And I think it really broadens what VR porn can provide for people. And for us, our goal was kind of to reach out to a new audience, an audience who isn't necessarily porn aficionados. And just given that it's VR, it allows you to do a lot of things that you can't do in traditional porn, and that interactivity and immersion that you have being in that environment. The idea is that if you were to run through these different exercises periodically, that will make you a better lover with your partner.
I definitely perform differently than I do in traditional films, because in traditional, I'm talking to the performer that I'm working with. But with virtual reality, I try to think of someone like a viewer that they're actually watching. But I guess that's good for the viewer because they feel like that I'm actually having sex with them.
Mm-hmm. We are looking to do a female version of it. And that's just because we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from it. And also we've shown it to you know, different media. And the question that constantly comes up is, you know, are you gonna do this for women? Something like this appeals to a different audience. So for us, you know, we would wanna use it to attract that new audience who traditionally doesn't watch porn. We just recently made virtual sexology available for anyone to buy. So you don't have to do the full month or year subscription to access it. Just kind of an experiment to see if there is that kind of audience out there. And I think if we were to do, or when we do the female perspective one, it's something that we would also look into as providing outside the subscription service that we sell to our kind of, what we'd say, more hardcore fans. You know, this isn't something that you can even do with traditional porn. So it just goes along with, you know, trying to explore the capabilities of what VR can be used for. And, you know, sex education, I think, is a really powerful tool. It's just a matter of figuring how to do it right so it's effective.
So what I'm curious about is the deeper implications for a more intimate connection to a world that was previously at a distance, like porn. Does this blend of virtual reality and teledildonics foster a new kind of intimacy? Unlike being with a partner connected to teledildonics, when you connect your sex toy in VR to Bedoink or a live cam, there are clear roles. There's one who's being pleasured and one who's doing the pleasuring, and you don't have to take care of anyone, and you can be anonymous. And certainly there's some genuine data security concerns about hooking any device up to the internet and sharing personal information over an internet connection. But what does it mean? Is it sex still? Writer on Medium, Hey Francesca, recently wrote this piece, which I thought was great, describing the VR teledildonics experience as like a glory hole for the modern day. She explains, instead of placing your penis through a hole in a wall and being stimulated by a stranger, the barrier, in this case, is created by your mind, which is enveloped in a VR space. So the question is, are we building a new form of intimacy in a virtual space?
My name's Janet Lieberman. I'm a co-founder of Dame Products. Dame Products makes sex toys, which makes me a sex toy engineer because I'm a mechanical engineer by trade. I've been working as an engineer designing products for about 7 years, and I realized that I was a consumer of a product category that didn't really have a lot of people with my background going into it and looked like it could really benefit from a little bit more better engineering.
Janet is a deep thinker about intimacy and sexual health from both an engineering perspective and a cultural understanding. She does a lot of thinking about the future of sex.
I think that some amount of focus on innovating sex and future sex is focusing on replacement or distance, and is maybe not acknowledging that as sexual beings, we like the contact. Not all of sex is about orgasms and numbers, and you can't just boil it down to like, oh, it made me come the fastest. That's not necessarily the best product. What we want out of sex is human connection, is intimacy. Those elements are still important. And I think it might say something that these products that are focusing on intimacy are actually seeming to be more successful maybe than the products that are focusing on teledildonics, on making sure that you can make someone come from a distance. I mean, it has benefits. There's, for long distance couples, that's great. For people who want to go out and play a little bit, that's great. But I don't know that it will ever be able to replace just the feeling of having sex with another human being and the feeling of connection and intimacy and the chemicals that get released that create stronger bonds and
I think in some ways it's like how Tinder is a lot more popular than OkCupid these days. And you could boil that down to people are about appearance, but in my opinion, it has more to do with the fact that you can't really get to know someone from a distance. You can't get to know someone from messaging them, from reading a profile of what they, who they think they are. There's a certain amount of in-person connection that helps you tell what's going on. A lot of communication is physical and not something you're even aware that you're picking up from a person. And it's in reading someone's face, in reading their eyes and their body language. And so if you try to take all of those really important elements out of sex, you're missing a lot and you're losing a lot of humanity in it. If you can find a way to augment sex, to make sex a little bit more pleasurable, make it a little bit more equal between the partners so that everyone feels that the physical side is met, then it becomes a lot easier to focus on the emotional side, the connection, the intimacy. Something that I do think is interesting about teledildonics is its interaction with pornography, because we're always looking to get more human. And while teledildonics doesn't make sex between two partners more intimate, it does make like a webcam more intimate. Mm-hmm. It brings that to be more human. So I think that the ability to have a more intimate experience with people that you are not, would never be in the same room with, is very interesting and has a lot of potential. So a lot of the times when we talk about intimacy, people are again going to assume that we're talking about committed couples. And I think that you can have intimate or non-intimate experiences with relative strangers as well. I don't think that you necessarily need to be in a committed couple to be looking to be getting intimacy out of sex or to be receiving it from sex. But a lot of people are afraid of giving other people that they don't know that well or don't trust that well power over them in that kind of way. Mm. And that's totally fair. So I do think that there's opportunity within teledildonics for it to be easier to get a little intimate with a stranger, get a fix that involves another person, that involves some amount of conversation or a different person's input and style. And, you know, it's very different when you are having sex with someone else versus masturbating. Because when you're masturbating, you have to think of everything that you're going to do. And when you're having sex with someone else, there's a second party, and the second party can surprise you. They can do something, they can be doing nothing that you want them to be doing, but they can also be doing something that you didn't even realize you wanted at that moment. So I think that there's an opportunity for teledildonics to take some of the risk out of a one-night stand, to make it a little safer, to get some amount of humanity into it without having to go all the way to allowing a stranger to enter your personal space. I think that we always downplay the emotional power that sex can have. Some people, sex is nothing to them. It creates no real bond between them and another person. And some people have an incredibly strong emotional connection to sex. And if they have sex with someone, that person gets a certain amount of power over them for a certain period of time. So if you want some sort of sexual activity, but you don't want to form that kind of bond, I can see teledildonics being something that lets you play a little, not just be yourself, get a little bit more connected to another human being without letting someone all the way in emotionally, physically, space-wise. When the vibrator, the sex robot, or whatever is able to read you the same way that a partner could, maybe that also gets us to a better place, but it's always about, I think, being more intimate. Mm-hmm. Because even when you're talking about, even if you're just talking about something that's supposed to be about making things more powerful, you're still trying to make it more powerful so that you can get to an intimate place faster, mm-hmm. in my mind.
Today, we have connected pillows, kissing devices for long distance, and sex toys mimicking the feeling of intimacy of physical sex and sending sensations over very long distances right across the world. We can connect to a lover, we can connect to a stranger, a live cam girl, or a porn star's recorded content. So, where is all this going? Futurist Ross Dawson predicts that by 2025, you'll be able to 3D print your own teledildonics, replicating body parts of your lover or whoever you like, and enabling them with touch feedback to add intense realism to long-distance sex. Beyond just replicating your private parts, we're seeing some really exciting advancements with haptic suits that have a full body effect, and I think we're only getting closer to that. And while VR has been touted as an empathy machine with the capability to create intimate connections without being in the same space, it's unquestionably opening up a new experience of intimacy that we're yet to understand. And where we go will be up to us. Now, there's much more to come on virtual reality, porn, the rise of online sex education, and many more discoveries in future episodes. This was just a taster, but for now, it's time to call it a wrap. And in wrapping up, just like in every show, I ask my guest, what is the future of sex?
I think the future of sex is the ability to interact with someone at a different location. So being able to drop into an environment and not just interact with a porn star, but maybe interact with your lover or your boyfriend or your spouse and be able to see them, look at them, and touch them. And it's not to say, you know, this should replace sex, and it'll never be exactly the same, but as a way to augment it or a different way to experience it.
When it comes to the evolution of sex, maybe technology is not the only thing that's going to make sex evolve in the future.
What else is going to make sex evolve?
Well, I really think that the more we're going to see very complex apps and toys and practices or what have you, then there's going to be a counterbalance need for simplicity and back to basics. You know, just like in anything, if you look at food, if you look at cars, if you look at packaging, we have this trend where everything is so complicated or fashion, and then suddenly people just want something super, super simple, real back to basics. And maybe it will just leave room for old-fashioned sex, for cuddling and kissing for hours instead of playing with an app. And I really think that this is going to help us question the way we've had sex, the way we've seen sex.
I think its opportunities are largely in the ways that it can make unintimate activities be more intimate. I think that that's ultimately where the future of sex tech lies.
Thanks for listening to Future of Sex, the podcast that explores the evolving worlds of sex and tech. If you like the show, please go write us a review on iTunes. It really helps us get out there. Thanks to Stephanie, Mackie, Tyrone, and Janet for being a part of this episode. If you want links to anything they're doing, make sure you check out the episode show notes on futureofsex.org. And follow along with all the latest episodes and upcoming guests with our page on Facebook. This podcast was produced and edited by Chad Michael Snavely. To get in touch or check out the other podcasts Chad is producing, visit chadmichael.com. And if you have any questions or feedback or just want to keep up with what I'm doing, follow me on Twitter at Bryony Cole or leave me a voicemail on the website futureofsex.org. I'd love to hear any questions, comments, or feedback you have for the show. If you've got ideas for future episodes, send them my way. I will talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening.